about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Poor Rose. Why are you so against getting a wireless?
In a way, I wish you'd just say it. Cousin Robert, please buy a wireless for Downton.
I wouldn't mind.
That's because you're American, but I'm not, and I find the whole idea a kind of thief of life. That people should waste hours huddled around a wooden box listening to someone talking at them, burbling inanities from somewhere else.
But surely now with the latest news and everything, and it must be a boon for the old. What do you think, Bates?
I can't see the dowager with a wireless, lady.
It's a fad. It won't last.
And now,
I'm all over this bitch like a fat kid on a cupcake.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday, the 13th of January.
What's up, you guys?
What's up with you?
I am giving you a warning now that I may faint at any time.
All right.
And I may vomit at any time. I'm up now. I'm okay.
Because...
Well, we're trying some... We haven't talked about it much, but I do get contacted from the listeners from time to time inquiring about my my injuries from my fall,
right,
which was a month ago tomorrow. And I apparently have quite a significant amount of nerve damage in my lower back. And we've been going to the doctor and trying various things. And right now I'm on Neurontin, which I'm sure you've tried at one point, Kevin.
Yep.
Which is kind of supposed to be a nerve pain blocker, I guess, is
yep.
the deal. And it's a medicine that I don't know a lot about, but apparently it affects people in wildly different ways. It has been effective in kind of blocking some of that pain, but it has also created these other symptoms that I described. So, and today was super woozy day, getting up and trying to get down the stairs. So I'm just warning you guys ahead of time that I may vanish.
Okay, all right.
So you know.
Just be ready. And if we're talking to somebody, we hear
exactly. That's how you. That'll be the cue. That'll be the cue that I'm out. So, but I'm hoping if I don't move from this chair much, I'll be okay. So, let's get started with this story though, because you're going to love this so much. The Sun newspaper. Excuse me. I apologize. The Mirror newspaper, which is essentially the same thing in Britain, just did a story on a woman celebrating her 11-year anniversary of being married to
a dog.
Her cats.
So close. Crazy enough.
So close. By the way, when you read this article, she does not sound that crazy. You know, everybody assumes because she's married to her cats that she is a crazy cat lady. But
I think
says,
that's a pretty safe assumption.
I understand that.
I am a functioning member of society, someone who is working, someone who has a mortgage, someone who has real-life friendships, who goes out and does everyday things like shopping, taking walks on the beach, going to bars and restaurants. I'm a photographer. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a little bit eccentric, but I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm not hurting anyone being the way I am. In my opinion, the media always portrays things in a slightly different way than what they really are. The newspaper, for instance, wrote in their printed version, "Bride Barbarella wore a dress with cats on it and knelt next to her pets as she said her vows. And the trio celebrated with a honeymoon in Lanzarote. Even though I found what they wrote amusing, I never actually said or did any of this, and the newspaper totally made that up." Stuff like that, sadly, will portray anyone as a total nutcase, but the reality is very different. I am not a stereotypical cat lady whose house stinks of cat pee, who hoards 20 or more cats, whose hair is disheveled, who wears tatty clothes and has problems relating to people in real life and reality as a whole. She sounds pretty normal, right?
Hey, how about a little less throwing shade on other people and getting a divorce from your cats?
I can't say from experience if it's the same as being married to a human, as I've never been married to a human, although I did live with one for 7 years, but I'm sure it is not the same at all. First of all, the marriage to my cats is for fun only. It's not legal or recognized in any country in the world. Plus, they are cats, for instance. For example, they won't engage me in philosophical conversations or help me with the shopping or clean their toilet or go to work. These are animal companions. They're not my boyfriends. What most people cannot understand, though, is the love that I feel for them can be and is just as deep as what one can feel from another human. So she says she's in love with her cats,
right?
And she did go to a website that facilitates interspecies nuptials. She says it was all done online. There was no ceremony. There was no wacky outfits. I did, however, tell my cats, Lugosi and Spider, before marrying them that I was going to do it. Gave them a tin of tuna. They did not object. She's been married for 11 years. The cats are 15, by the way. So
a three-way thing, though. There's no jealousy moving in?
See, that's a great question.
Spending too much time with one of the cats or something?
That's a great question. I'm going to ask about that. And by the way, she also, 4 years ago, got another cat that lives in the home that she is not married to. So now, in my mind, she's just a swinger, right?
It's on.
So is she a crazy cat lady or not?
Yes.
Well, yes.
I think, really, if you marry your cats, you can talk all you want about the rest of your life and how normal you are. You married your cats.
So, in other words, the clean house and the jobs and the friends and all of
irrelevant.
That. Irrelevant. Irrelevant if you actually go to the effort to marry your cats.
Yes.
By the way, in case you're wondering, the question was asked, is there a sexual component to your marriage with the cats? No, she says. Even entertaining such a thought is just disgusting. In human terms, I know the word marriage implies that there will be sex involved, but we're not talking human terms here. I always get the, ooh, those cat tongues must feel really good kind of comments, but it's too gross to even consider.
Wait.
Those are her friends?
Those are her friends, yes.
Talk about how good it would be.
I guess they're just teasers or something. We all know there are people out there in this world who have sex with animals, but seriously, I'm not one of them, and the thought of that makes me ill. There are two major taboos, in my view, and that's sex with animals and sex with children. I am totally and utterly in love with my cats, but it is simply a pure, spiritual, unconditional love, like the love you would have for a young child. In a way, they are my children, my little babies, and not just my companions.
I kind of get that.
So she's married to her babies?
For your consideration, ladies and gentlemen, crazy cat lady.
Did you hear Lisa, by the way?
Yes, I did.
I kind of get that. They're your little babies.
Are you married to your cat?
No. I don't have a cat.
Dog?
No.
Are you married to any animal?
No.
Okay. We can move on.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
When you look at that, do you feel embarrassed?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. We will see.
On paper, it always looks good.
King of Mexico has a new Clipper song.
Yes.
Finally.
This has been coming for about a year and a half.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so happy.
Maybe two. He didn't do one last year.
This one better be great, by the way, for as long as he's made us wait.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pressure. So anyway. he's got a
track record of some pretty decent Clipper songs.
Yes, he does. And a few stinkers. But we'll see. I haven't heard it yet.
Okay.
Omar produced it. He's heard it.
All right.
I asked him how it was. He just gave me the look. So I feel like it's going to be good. All right. Comedian Nick Kroll will be in the studio with us.
I'm all right. I'm back.
Okay, good.
I'm back.
The Bachelor Report.
Yeah.
On the program today, Ralph and Petros.
Mm-hmm.
I love hearing about that show. Really don't like watching it.
Yeah, so no, this is perfect
best
for
of
us.
Both worlds.
Yeah.
I love that we're having great sportscaster Petros Papadakis on the show the day after college football's national championship. To discuss The Bachelor,
yeah,
not the game.
That's where his heart is.
Yes, definitely. If you were to ask him which he'd rather talk about, it's The Bachelor.
Of course.
We also are going to tell you about a preacher who believes that Ellen being gay and having on attractive women is attempting to turn people gay.
Yes, she's pushing her homosexual agenda like liberals in the media do, Kevin, because kids will watch that show, see gay people on it, and then we'll turn gay.
That is
what don't you understand
works.
About that?
That's so bizarre that anyone still thinks that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt until we talk to him.
Yeah, sure. And we also have two UFC fighters in studio, Alexander Gustafsson.
The Mauler.
And Phil Davis.
Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful. I asked off the year. Off the air yesterday. Is that Mr. Beautiful? What's his nickname? I can't remember.
Well, that's a reasonable guess.
And they said, please call him Mr. Beautiful.
Nope. How do you get to be Mr. Wonderful? Well, I guess we'll ask Phil.
Anyway, they're going to be in studio coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
It is Tuesday morning. Our friend Ralph Garman steps in now. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. How are you, Ralph? What's going on, man?
Happy anniversary to radio. To radio?
Really?
To radio?
Just tell me more.
What we're doing right now.
I love this story.
This business that we are in, that we are engaging in at the very exact second of now.
Right.
The very first public radio broadcast was made today, January the 13th, in 1910.
Yay!
Larry King was the host.
1910, because we always hear about the 1920 with KDKA going on. But what was happening
that's
before
what
that?
You know. So that's what you know then, I guess. Inventor Lee DeForest was broadcasting via radio in 1910 on this day.
No one heard it, of course, because no one owned a radio.
I was just wondering that.
He did it.
That's you have all to receive it to know. In some way.
So. Does it say in the article, Ralph, Chili Pepper song he played?
Because that's an old band to play.
That we play a lot of and all the time, always. That's really cool. That's fascinating.
Nope.
All right, easy. I just thought it was slightly interesting.
Slightly interesting.
That's all I could muster for it. Very first Frisbee was sold today. How's that work?
You're losing us now.
Come on, the Frisbee! The Frisbee.
Right.
Who doesn't love a Frisbee?
Now, I do have a follow-up question on that. have there ever been any competitors of any note, other flying discs, that have attempted to take on Frisbee?
Of course. There's been lots of toy companies make
flying discs. But would you ever buy a non-Frisbee flying disc?
No way. You buy a cheap imitation, someone's going to get hurt.
That's right. Put an eye out. It's only one flying disc for my money. And
that's right. At the good old Whammo company.
That's right.
You get yourself a Whammo Frisbee. Anything else is just an imitation.
Well, you don't love your kids if you buy something else.
That's right.
I like this new format on the Showbiz Beat.
The toilet.
Ralph talks about historical events.
The toilet was invented on this day. Toilet, come on, toilet. Toilet and the Frisbee.
Well, look.
Pretty good things.
Yeah.
1863, toilet.
Okay.
Accordion? The accordion? The patent for the accordion was filed today.
On
this
day.
For Al. In 1854.
Wow.
How do I ask this?
Why is this not a holiday?
Showbiz?
You know, people are still talking about the Golden Globe Awards, and it's not just Jennifer Lopez's cans that were hanging out of her dress. The big winner of the Golden Globes Awards, apparently, Sean Douglas. May not know that name, but it's Michael Keaton's kid.
Oh, yeah.
Remember he went on that lengthy
tirade
talking about his family and his best friend who turned out to be his son? So they cut to him at the table, and apparently the ladies went crazy. Twitterverse exploded with lots of women fawning all over Sean Douglas, saying how adorable he was, and he's got the cutest dimples, and they just want to do naughty things to him.
He is good looking and very talented. You know, we talked about yesterday, he's a songwriter and wealthy. Seems like it'd be a good catch
for
somebody.
So the ladies apparently love Sean Douglas, so good for you, Sean Douglas.
My wife asked me a question that I didn't think about at the time because I thought the Michael Keaton speech was very moving. But she said, isn't it a little creepy that his best friend is his son?
I got the sense it was not literal.
Okay.
It was just...
Because you're supposed to have kind of like a parent... You know, child relationship in that case.
Yeah, but when
you're supposed to be best friends with your kids.
But when
you
were a parent of an adult child, he's 31 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the relationship changes, and I think he just means that it's one of his favorite people, and they have a very close friendship. But I got the sense he was using that as sort of as an allegory.
Kind of a. So you think he probably has an actual best friend too?
Yes, I think he probably does.
I think that creepy factor where you're not supposed to be their friend is when they're 4, 5, 6,
yeah.
9,
I think
10.
Once they're 31 and you're sort of done the raising part, you can transition into friendship. I think that's fine. Just tell your wife to pipe down. We're watching the show.
Well, women shouldn't bring up questions anyway. But
trying to watch television.
I hear you.
And Margaret Cho apparently is catching a lot of flack from people saying she was being racist in her depiction of a North Korean general.
Well, she shouldn't be allowed to play an Asian person.
I agree. She shouldn't be able to play. She fired back on Twitter to no one in particular. I'm of mixed North and South Korean descent. You imprison, starve, and brainwash my people. You get made fun of by me.
Boom!
Boom!
How do you like me now?
North Korea went, what? I'm not playing the race card. I'm playing the rice card, she wrote.
What? She didn't write that.
Yeah, she did.
Playing the rice card.
So she's addressing people who said she was racist. Is she addressing people who say she's not funny?
She's not
what? Address that.
She's not addressing that, no.
It made me laugh once.
What?
And here's some great news. Showtime did their time in front of the Television Critics Association yesterday and announced all their shows they have coming up, including the reboot of Twin Peaks. David Lynch announced that the new Twin Peaks will be set in present day and show what's been happening to the characters since the old show ended. Back for the run, Kyle MacLachlan as FBI agent Dale Cooper.
Is that right?
How about that is right?
He still looks great.
He does. He's been on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. playing Sky's dad. So I'm looking forward to the
Twin Peaks. And David Lynch is going to direct all 10 episodes,
too. Yes, he will.
Which is great news.
So honked up. I love that.
He's writing the show, co-writing the show, along with the original authors, Frost and others. So
when was this? 90? Did you say 90, 91?
90s. Yeah, early 90s. Good man, that Cooper!
What are, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, how many of the cast members are still alive and still working in TV. A lot of them are, but some of them are just have fallen off the radar. Some of the people, like the Indian police chief or a policeman that was on that show.
Yes.
He's gone. Michael Ironhorse. His deputy, whatever happened to him. And there's a lot of people who just vanished after that show.
Well, they should probably.
The kid who played Bobby, whatever happened to him, never saw him again after that show.
Eric DeRay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Good call, Ralph.
I know these people.
That's crazy.
Matchin' Amick. She'll be back, I'm sure.
It's Bobby.
Peggy Lipton. I want to see Peggy Lipton come.
Peggy
back.
Lipton, who owned the diner.
That's right.
Rust Hamblin, still alive and working, I think.
Damn, I loved that show.
Me too.
Adele Dazeem.
Yep.
She's the log lady. Remember?
Really? Yep,
she was the log lady.
Yeah. That was Catherine Coulson, wasn't it, Ralph?
Yes, it was.
She's still alive. Still has the original log. Still hung on to it.
I do, too. I've got my original log as well.
That is a fact. It's not interesting.
You want to talk more about the accordion and the frisbee?
Yes. This has been one of the best showbiz beats ever.
She still has the log.
She does. People take souvenirs from shows when they close. She hung on to it.
That's really interesting.
But who's laughing
now?
Story.
Who's laughing now,
though?
Well,
that
Catherine,
story.
It's David. Yes, we need the log back. We're making the show again, and we'd like to have the log.
I hope David Lynch's character is reprised as well, by the way.
So do I.
It's the best.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is 54 years old today. Does any woman look better at 54 than Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
No.
She's 54. That's crazy.
Ridiculous. Patrick Dempsey's 49. Does anybody look better at 49 than Patrick Dempsey?
No. Gotta be honest.
He's McDreamy. Or McSteamy or McSloppy or something. McSquishy. He's something. Actor Michael Pena. Soon to be seen in the new Ant-Man. He's 39 years old today. Orlando Bloom. She is 38 years old. Actress Jill Wagner. Also one of the co-hosts of Wipeout. 36 years old today. Diminutive comedian Brad Williams is 31 years old today. Happy birthday, Brad. Liam Hemsworth. He's dreamy, too. He's 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A little nervous.
Damn, a little bit.
All right.
Yeah, it's just a year and a half, man.
It's world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 6.
Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, in studio with us right now. Dave, how long ago did you drop your first song in tribute to your beloved lifelong Los Angeles Clippers?
Ooh, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay. And then you started doing one every year after that until last year, right?
Yeah, last year was the first time where I took a break, and the team did pretty well. And by pretty well, I mean they, lost in the second round?
Yeah, do you think if you had done a song, maybe they would have gone further?
Yeah,
everybody has to do their part. Is that your part?
No, maybe I should have done a playoff song, though, because they had a great regular season. So, and this year, you know, this season, they're up and down. So I thought it was time.
Why are they up and down, by the way? They amaze me with the teams that they're able to handily beat, and then they lose to, you know,
the Heat.
Teams like Atlanta, teams I wouldn't expect them to lose to.
Well, Atlanta's unreasonable this year. It's crazy how good they turned out to be. But
there are a lot of sports teams that play to the level of whoever they're playing. That's a big issue.
But the Clippers are so inconsistent right now. Like, Bean's right. They'll step up and dominate the Mavericks.
Right.
But then turn around and lose to the Heat, who they should not be losing to.
So this song is going to set them straight.
I think so.
Turning a page on the new chapter.
Yeah, as soon as I hit the studio, they dominated for 2 games, you know. And then I think they just took it easy. So now they need to hear it. They need to hear the song.
I see.
Okay. And hopefully this will inspire them.
So you think the fact that you went into a room and did the song inspired them to win 2 games in a row without even knowing
why?
Well,
let's just say this, Kevin. I went, recorded this song, then went to the game later that night,
right?
And they were up 45 on the Lakers. So, I was in the building. Exactly.
From Dave,
I told some of the Clippers people, I was like, hey, I recorded it today, boom. And they must have told the players or something because,
All right, well, strap in because this is a world premiere here on K-Rock. Anything we need to know about this, the song, the name or anything, or just let it fly?
Well, the name of the song is I'm in Love with the Clip Show. And this song is banging right now, and it's all up in the clubs. So Please enjoy.
Begin sequence. Now, a K-Rock world premiere exclusive.
K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock.
I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. The balling down at Staples. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. The balling down at Staples.
Ball up.
I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. Bomber, he's our owner. He's a little loco. CP3, he's our leader. DJ brings that defense. Crawford with a three-pointer. Lawler yelling bingo. Blake Griffin with the nasty dunk. 114 cheering, that's what's up. Be relentless, gotta be relentless. Be relentless, gotta be relentless. Dribble, pass, shoot it, Clippers. We're gonna win the West, Clippers. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. The balling down at Staples. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show.
That's right, Kevin. You can suck it. The Clipper Nation is rising up. This season, we are bringing home Larry. You know why? Because we're hardcore.
Yeah.
Our owner is hardcore. Our team is hardcore. I am hardcore. King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan, we out, Clipper Nation. Booyah.
All right, Dave, you're a lot of things.
I mean, feel that. Look, feel that beat.
We boys at all, but you are not hardcore, my friend.
I am hardcore.
Hey, you want to be hardcore?
I could be hardcore.
Hardcore because he had $2 billion to spend for a basketball team. That's why he's hardcore. You are not hardcore. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm in love with the Clip Show right there from the King of Mexico. Very, very nice.
So now how's it going to go for him? Are they just going to go on a run now?
Oh, I think
unbelievable run?
Yeah, 14 in a row.
When's the next game?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
All right.
We'll see. Yeah. Good work.
All right.
You know how you're watching TV and you see a gay person on TV and it makes you want to go gay, like right then? Like you can't stop it because, you know, you're being indoctrinated into the homosexual lifestyle that's perpetrated by the liberals that make TV. You know how that happens?
Oh, yeah. And you got to turn the TV off right away.
Wait.
Right. Exactly.
Turn off the gay.
Because you're watching a Survivor and they might have a gay contestant or Grey's Anatomy mm-hmm. has a gay storyline and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, I got to get me some same sex. That happens constantly.
I don't think that ever happened.
Well, really? Because it's happened once. But I'm reading this article right now from an evangelist named Larry Tomczak, who says that shows like Ellen are featuring girls like Taylor Swift and other attractive women on the show in an effort to attract young girls to go gay.
So he's saying if Ellen has Taylor Swift on the show,
mm-hmm. they're creating lesbians.
That's
out of thin
the
air.
Only yes. reason they would do it.
Yes, that's right, because they're trying to get girls to fall in love with girls. That's what they're doing. Exactly, yes.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
And there's a long list of shows that Mr. Tomczak has problems with, but we wanted to find out more, so we thought, hey, why paraphrase? We can go right to the source. Evangelist Larry Tomczak joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hello, sir. Thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. You heard us talking about your editorial that has been getting quite a bit of press lately, and we thought maybe you could tell us more about it, sir.
Well, I'm just speaking the truth. I am mm-hmm. talking to Americans and letting them know that they are being inundated, assaulted by an avalanche of gay programming coming into their homes.
That's how you describe it, an avalanche of gay programming. So what happens when, say, a family sits down in front of the TV and there's a gay character on the show? Like, say they like Modern Family, for instance. What happens when they look at the married gay couple on that show?
Well, of course, it depends on the person who's watching the programming, but... some people are more susceptible to the indoctrination and propaganda of the gay lifestyle in our country. So if you're watching a show like, as you mentioned, Modern Family that has a gay couple, and you are susceptible, then you will be gay.
So Hollywood is working to lead a generation over the cliff to destruction, you say?
That's correct, yes. Because you have to remember that although they would like to portray gay lifestyle as normal, acceptable behavior in Romans 1:24-27, it is labeled as immoral, indecent, shameful, unnatural, and a perversion.
Now, let me ask you this question. When you see a good-looking guy on TV, does that make you be gay?
Is he heterosexual or is he homosexual?
Doesn't matter, either.
It matters to me.
Okay, homosexual then.
Let's say he's a gay guy.
Does that make you want to have sex with a man?
Sure. Do you tingle in your parts?
Sure makes me think about it. Of course, sure, yeah.
That was not the answer
is,
I was expecting.
I'm able to resist it. There's plenty of temptation in the world, but we have to be able to resist it. But the gay and lesbians would like you not to be able to resist it, so they keep inundating you with this propaganda. Like, okay, Glee, you watch Glee, there's like five gay characters on Glee. It's hard to watch an episode of Glee and not be gay.
It's hard to put a musical on and not have gay characters. So now what are we supposed to do?
Well, I just say don't watch Glee.
Well, I think we can agree on that, actually. So how does it work, though? What's the science of this? I'm trying to understand how you can turn somebody who's heterosexual into a homosexual just by showing them something on TV.
There you go. You're left-wing media again with your science.
Well, I mean, that's a valid question.
Your science.
How does it work?
It's not science at all. It's God's way, first of all, and second of all, it's choices. We make choices in this life, and if you're watching Ellen DeGeneres and you're a young woman and you see Taylor Swift on, you're like, maybe I would like to go for a little bagel bumping, and then that's how you start that slippery slope, if you will, if you'll pardon the pun.
How about somebody like Anderson Cooper, though, who's an excellent He's a great broadcaster, and he's got some real journalistic credibility. Why shouldn't he be on CNN?
Anderson Cooper, I'll have you know, has said he prefers to have sex with men.
Well, he's openly gay. Of course he has sex with men. That's what he does.
And then he dares to co-host a New Year's Eve show.
But me watching that does not affect my sexuality at all.
I'll have him know it's New Year's Eve, not New Year's Steve.
God. One of the other shows that you mentioned here is, not even by name, but home and remodeling reality shows regularly feature lesbians and gays in partnerships looking for homes.
Yes, two gay guys walk into a bar.
Right.
And they say, I'm looking for a new home.
Uh-huh.
Why in a bar? Why do they ask that in a bar?
I don't know. It just sounded like a funny joke. Okay. But they do. They treat them like people.
Because they're people. Because they're regular, normal Americans. Because there's nothing wrong with them.
You just simply don't understand. I often like to minister to the gays.
Uh-huh.
I will go sometimes 12, 13 gay pride events a year. And I will sit down next to a homosexual at one of their bars, and I will sip on a beer. And I will start up a conversation with them to try to minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I minister them right out of their clothes.
Wow. Really?
Well, you are certainly doing your part then, Larry.
You have no idea.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Ugh. John, what are you owing about?
Just Kevin, he's got to be stopped.
Yeah, I know. John Jones is the light heavyweight champion of the world in the UFC. The man just behind him, his number one contender, is Alexander Gustafsson. The number five contender is Phil Davis. Both of those gentlemen will be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour to talk about UFC Stockholm. It's going to be awesome. January 24th on Fox. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. First, what's going on, Ralph?
Let's make them fight.
Here?
Yes.
You want to make them do anything?
Let's suggest they fight.
Good luck with that. They're teammates, dude.
I know. That's what makes it so cool. It's like when Hulk fights Iron Man. That's cool. You see the new Avengers trailer?
I did not.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus in heaven.
I did not.
So you're saying it's good?
It's boner-tastic.
Why is there a new Avengers trailer, by the way? When's the movie coming out?
Summertime.
Oh, this year? Okay.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of the release schedule. I don't know where we are in it.
If it came out, if it was set to the year 3000, I would still want to see a trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Although I hate seeing trailers so far in advance that you get really excited and then you have to wait for a year and a half.
Then don't watch
it.
Then don't watch it.
I'm going to watch
it. Then don't watch it. I'm watching it. I'm rolling around it. I'm rubbing it behind my ears.
What?
You don't know. Speaking of things. How'd you like that segue?
That's a great transition.
This Amazon. Hey, congratulations to this Amazon. I think they're going to make it. This Amazon. I think they have a future. First of all, you can buy stuff from them. I don't know if you know that. You can go to Amazon.com and you can purchase things.
Yeah,
that's convenient.
They will mail it to your home.
Well, hold on a second.
You don't even
hold
have to go to a store.
Wait a minute.
Something out.
Stop talking.
You pay for it with a credit card and or PayPal account, and then they mail it to your house.
Stand by. Amazon, the network, they also sell stuff?
Yes.
The people that have Transparent, the TV show?
Then, of course, they were the big winners at the Golden Globes over the weekend with Transparent. One of their first forays into scripted television, boom, nets them a Golden Globe. Now they announce, Amazon Studios, they have signed a gentleman to write and direct a little television series for them. A little no-name talent named Woody Allen.
Yay!
Will write and direct his first television series for Amazon.
Interesting.
His first television series.
Yep.
He's like what? Got to be close to 70.
Oh, he's better than that.
Okay.
He's over
been in
70.
Show business a long time, has never done television before, but now he's going to do it.
Yep. The Untitled Woody Allen Project, it's called. They're going to have to work on that name.
Yeah, that's not very good.
A half-hour series has received already a full season order from Amazon. All the episodes will be written and directed by Woody Allen. Series will be available exclusively on Amazon Prime Instant Video here in the U.S. and the U.K. and Germany. Here's what Roy Price, Vice President of Amazon Studios, said. Woody Allen is a visionary creator who has made some of the greatest films of all time, and it's an honor to be working with him on his first television series. Here's what Woody Allen said. I don't know how I got into this.
As Woody Allen, please.
I don't know how I got into this. I have no ideas. I'm not sure where to begin. My guess is that Roy Price will regret this. That was his statement.
That's a nice statement.
That was a great statement. So, there they go.
How about that?
How about that as a partnership?
Wait, Amazon's just got money to burn, don't they?
Well, I wish they would shove a little bit into my furnace, if that's the case. No? No one?
No.
Nothing?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, Eminem. He's nice. Turns out. There's a guy named Gage Garmo. He has a rare form of bone cancer. He only has, doctors say, he'll pass away at any time. Maybe a week to live, a couple weeks.
Wow. That sucks.
So his friends and family posted the hashtag GetGageGarmo to meet Eminem. Eminem is his favorite artist and his hero. And it worked. Eminem showed up at Gage's house, which is about 20 minutes away from where Eminem lives in Michigan.
Wow.
They hung out for an hour, and then Eminem was on his way, quietly. No press around. No press was alerted. Just came by and paid him a visit and then left.
Super cool.
Pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yep. I always am touched when celebrities and artists go out of their way to spend some time with a fan who's not doing well.
Especially if you're a shut-in like Eminem.
Yeah.
Never leaves the house.
He barely talks to anybody.
Yeah.
But he talked
to
this guy.
I'm going to fake a near-death experience and see if I can get Taylor Swift over here.
Who has to fake it there, fainty? Fainty McVomalot?
Yeah, man. You're right.
You're right? Somebody get him up. Somebody pick him up.
I'm okay. I'm right here.
I'm the healthiest man you know.
I am, goddammit.
My new medication for my nerve damage.
He always says he's the healthiest man we know. And
I am. I'm the healthiest man you know.
And he'll equally back up. He's not accident prone.
Not at all.
I'm not at all accident prone.
Neither
of us. He's telling that to my nerve damage doctor.
Those are both the opposite of true.
After I fell off the stage, I said to my doctor, I'm not the least bit accident prone.
Look, I am well enough to work, so that means I'm not too sick.
No, you're dumb.
First of all, you work from your house.
Right, that helps, absolutely.
And all you have to do is speak.
Right.
So if you're home and can speak, you can do your job. It doesn't mean that you're healthy.
I feel like I'm the healthiest man in the world.
I'm glad you feel that way.
You're a strange dude. This band, Foo Fighters, you familiar?
Yeah. Good band.
I think they have a future as well. Just announced they will be headlining the 2015 Hangout Music Festival.
Where's that?
That is in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Okay. The sixth annual event happens May 15th through the 17th. So for all our Alabama listeners there who are in our Alabama affiliate, you want to pick up your tickets. Your tickets are on sale now.
We don't have an Alabama.
Other headliners, Zach Brown Band, Beck, My Morning Jacket, and Skrillex will all be performing as well.
Wow, so, one of those is not like the others,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Hemsworth celebrates his 25th birthday. Now, that's not Thor, right? That's the other one.
That's right.
Okay. Sometimes those Hemsworth boys are confusing.
Yeah.
Brad Williams, our little comedian friend, he is 31 years old. Actress and co-host of Wipeout, Jill Wagner, celebrates her 36th birthday. Orlando Bloom is 38. Michael Pena, a very talented actor, is 39. Patrick Dempsey is 49 years old. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I cannot wait for the return of Veep this year. She is 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When I came in this morning, I felt pretty tough.
Yeah? How do you feel now?
Not very
How do you
tough.
Feel now that you're in the room with the Mauler? You feeling still pretty tough?
Not at all, really, no.
Alexander Gustafsson is here along with Phil Davis. They are both on the card for UFC Fight Night, which is going to be Saturday, January 24th. In Stockholm, Sweden. You can watch it for free live on Fox. Let's welcome the guys to the studio. I'm sorry to say, Alex, you shook the hand of our associate producer, Christine, and she's now on her way to the hospital. They think she broke a bone in her hand.
I hope not.
So nice job. Nice job there.
Yeah,
we all felt to that. That was tough. How are you guys? Welcome. What's going on? How you feeling?
Good, thanks. Feeling good. Great to be here.
Phil, how about you?
Oh, well, thank you.
What's you got a little bit of time. You know, what are we looking at? Like, 13 days, 12 days, something like that. What's the mindset now? Are you? I mean, you got to do all this media, and then you go to work.
Well, yeah. I mean, these days and up until the fight, we just walk around. You know, this close to beating up anybody.
Right. Sure.
Happens.
I can imagine, though, it just must play. Just be mentally exhausting. Like, you're ready to fight probably now, both of you.
Yeah.
And you just have to wait and wait and wait. Is that torture, sort of?
Well, you know, not torture, but, you know, we're ready. We have a couple of more sessions to do with each other. And then, you know, it's just, you know, fun time left. Mm-hmm. Cutting the weight down and fight, basically.
How much weight do you have to cut?
No, just a couple of pounds. It's not that much.
Phil?
Yeah, just a little off the top. Just, that's it. About 10.
10 pounds.
Now you guys are fighting on the same team, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's your relationship? Where does it go back to at the beginning for you guys? Because you guys did fight each other once a long time ago, right?
Yep. Phil, he beat me up.
He beat you up?
2010. So it's about 5 years from now.
And Alex, do you carry that around with you? Is that a heavy burden for you every time you see Phil? Do you go, oh man, why couldn't I beat that guy?
No, not at all. No, you know, I'm just glad to be here training with Phil and all the guys at Alliance. So it's a great team, and I'm just glad I can train there, and I've been developing my own skills, and feeling great to come back here.
What is it like when you guys are working out of the same gym and on the same team? Like, Phil, do you play whatever role he needs as a training partner and then vice versa? Or
sure.
Have other people do that? Or?
Absolutely. Well, it's not just the two of us in the gym
right. All
day. So we got a bunch of other guys. But, yeah, you know, when he's hitting a guy who's more of a wrestler, then I'll wrestle more than I would strike, you know, or vice versa, you know. If the guy's more of a kickboxer, not a great kickboxer look, but I'll kickbox more than I will wrestle.
Okay, I guess it gives you a chance to work on whatever you're doing as well.
Yeah.
How many people are on the team? I mean, is it
both of our teams,
or
like the
15?
Entire Swedish team and the entire no. Alliance team? That's a lot.
You mentioned the Swedish team. Of course, Alex is from Sweden, and the fight is in Sweden. How did that come about? I mean, you must be just over the moon joyous with the fact that you're going to be able to fight at home. But how did it happen? There haven't been a ton of UFC fights in Europe, have there?
Yeah, it's been a couple of them, and especially in Sweden. I think this is the fourth one they're having. So I'm super excited to fight it at my home and in Stockholm in Tele 2 Arena too. It's a great arena, it's a huge arena. So it's gonna be packed.
It seems like you guys can sort of pretty much have to focus so much that you block everything out. So does the home advantage help you? I mean, do you hear the crowd going crazy, or do you you're just listening for your coach? How does it work?
It helps. It helps. It definitely gives you a push to fight in your hometown and have your own fans sharing for you. So it gives you a push. But at the same time, you know, a fight is a fight. It doesn't matter where it is. You know, you have still the same routines. You know, you got your coaches, and that's what you hear.
And your fans in Sweden, do they like Phil? Because
yeah,
he's
for
your
sure.
teammate? So
sure.
you'll get some of that
some
too.
Love. Great support.
Oh, yeah. Hey, with the time difference, though, to Europe, what time's your fight going to be?
7 a.m.?
It's close.
I'm just kidding. Really?
Yeah.
Really.
Close. I was just
really
joking.
Close.
Yeah, I think the main card starts at 2.
2
a.m.
2 a.m.
2 a.m.
The main card starts at 2 a.m. I was just joking. I didn't realize.
So I'll probably fight about 3, and he'll probably fight about 4.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's just all for American television, right? For the time zone.
Yep.
That is hilarious.
Do you train that way? Have you changed your training schedule so that you're fighting in the middle of the night?
No, because we just fight at 6 p.m. Pacific time because that's the time we're fighting.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right,
okay.
Right.
How long before the fight do you go to Sweden?
We leave
Monday arrive
night.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday morning we'll be there.
Wow. This is weird. This is so weird. Phil, let's talk about your fight a little bit against Ryan Bader. Tell me more.
Well, Ryan comes from a wrestling background like myself. He wrestled at Arizona State, and I wrestled for the great Penn State, 4-time reigning defending national champions.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Smooth.
we wrestled each other in college a couple times, but most of the time, I think I won.
Do you think that wrestlers have an advantage if you have a wrestling background going into the UFC?
I think you definitely have more X factor. You know, you have a set of positions that are unique to you that a lot of people won't have. You still got to work on your stand-up and your ground game and your submissions and everything else, but you'll have a couple positions where you should be able to make something up.
Right. Alex, you come from the same background or no?
No, I'm a striker from the start. So,
but he has a history in Swedish wrestling.
I don't know if you training sessions wrestling in Sweden, but I'm mostly a striker.
Your last fight, I'm not positive it was your last fight when you fought John Jones. How did you not win that? And does that bug you? It went all 5 rounds, and I thought you won.
Thank you.
Is it?
And you are a licensed judge in the UFC, Kevin.
I am. No, I mean, like, if you take John Jones all the way and you really, it's a coin flip, how do you deal with that mentally afterwards?
You're honestly probably more than qualified to be a
Thank
judge
you.
In the UFC.
Let's get that clear. That's why you guys are always saying don't let it go to the judges?
Absolutely.
That's the important thing?
Because they just bring those guys in from the strip. They give them a free buffet and let them judge around.
If anything, you're overqualified. That's why you're not doing that.
Well, I mean, the nod usually goes to the champ if it's that close, right? But like Kevin says, that must be almost impossible to reconcile knowing what a great fight you fought, Alex. Tell us your mental process that night and in the days after.
Well, you know, in my mind, I thought I won the fight. So it was a tough one. I rather, like, you know, lose, like, more like, you know, he finished me or he threw me around for 5 rounds.
You'd rather lose that way than have it be a coin flip and then lose that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's just more mental. Because, like, you think maybe you won and...
Yeah, no, you know, you're so close, but you're not really there. So it was a tough one, but like today, I don't think about it at all. I'm just that's in the past now. So I learned a lot from that experience, though. So it's all good.
Well, that sounds like the healthy way to go. But I mean, you know, Jones has said you were the best. You know, the best fight in of all of his defenses. You were the toughest guy he ever had to fight. So I'm sure you want to fight him again, and I'm sure that's the goal after you win this fight, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break right there. It's going to be a great card. These two men are going to be part of it. Alexander Gustafsson in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show, along with Mr. Wonderful himself, Phil Davis. It's going to be Saturday, January 24th, in Stockholm Arena at the Tele 2 Arena. You can watch it live for free on Fox. The early fights start at 5 p.m. More with our guests right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Comedian, actor Nick Kroll on the show with us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show and The Bachelor Report with Petros Papadakis. Right now, something very special going on. Two of the best UFC light heavyweight fighters in the world are with us, Alexander Gustafsson and Phil Davis. They are both on the card for UFC Fight Night, fighting different fighters on January 24th, which is, what, a week from Saturday, I want to say, from Stockholm, Sweden. What's the story, if you don't mind me asking you guys, and Phil, I'll start with you, on how you ended up as a UFC fighter. Is this something you expected when you were a little kid or a teenager?
No, I got into it like most guys, you know. Somebody dared me, and I said, okay.
Somebody dared you.
Next thing I know. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much. But, I mean, that's pretty much how it happened. I was a junior, senior in college, and I kind of thought I might want to try it. And my roommates at the time, the biggest enablers ever, they just kept irking me until I was over the top, until I gave it a shot. So
to basically go to a tryout.
Well, I didn't go directly from college wrestling into the UFC. I first did a couple of amateur fights. You know, at this point, I was thinking, all right, I'll try this, see what it feels like to get hit.
Right.
Not knowing that I would be such a better athlete in those amateur fights. I never even got hit until, like,
really?
Never really got hit.
Wow.
Until I was in the UFC. Like, nobody.
And then how'd you like it, Phil?
All right, the first time you got hit, did you go, I don't like this?
I said, well, whoa, he is for real.
This guy changed my opinion of this sport.
Yeah.
How is it as a career?
It's pretty interesting. It's like being in a traveling circus. me and this guy travel the world with the same people, the same staff. They travel the world, and we get to different destinations, and we do our deal, and we fly out.
So it's like being in a circus, Kaya.
It really is.
Interesting.
It really is.
How about you, Alex? What was your road to the UFC?
Well, I didn't do sports at all, actually, for a couple of years. And I was just hanging out. And then a friend of mine introduced me to the sport. And I was watching, like, old Pride fights back in the days. And it looks nice. So
it doesn't look nice.
Alex, the rest of us, we watched those fights and we go, thank God that's not me up there. What is it about that made you think it looked good?
It looked nice.
Alex is crazy. You got it? No.
Yeah.
You weren't an athlete. Were you not a...
No.
Were you an athlete?
No.
Of any kind?
No.
You didn't play football, basketball, nothing?
No, I'd done those sports. I was doing boxing for most of the time when I was growing up, but I didn't do sports right then. Like, I didn't do sports for a couple of years, and I was just bored, and I wanted to do something new.
What did you think your career was going to be? Like, before the UFC idea got into your head, what were you going to do for a living?
Well, I didn't, like, have any, actually, I didn't have a big goal. I was working in the construction business.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, took one day at a time. And then one day I felt like I want to do some sports again and try it out. And, yeah, I got introduced to the sport. And
now, was it similar to Phil's story in America where there were some amateur fights that you could enter?
Yeah, I did a couple of them and a couple of professional fights before I got my UFC contract.
Does the UFC, forgive me if this is a naive or stupid question, but does the UFC, like other sports, have scouts that go out and watch amateur fights looking for new talent?
Good question. No.
They don't?
No.
So you kind of have to go to them if you're interested in getting into the game.
Well, I wouldn't say they scout amateur talent as much, but they scout the... what I would call semi-pro talent.
Okay.
The guys in the small shows, small professional shows.
So if you're good, they'll eventually...
They will find you.
Yeah,
they'll
hear about you.
You will pop up on their radar for sure. There are a couple of guys that have come up from amateur wrestling that appear on their radar. So...
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. In our remaining moments, we've got Mr. Wonderful here and the Mauler. We're talking about a week from Saturday night in Stockholm. It's live and it's free on Fox, by the way. What happens to you? I want to ask each of you guys, what happens to you after you win that fight on January 24th? What's next for you, Phil, first, after you beat Ryan Bader?
After I beat Ryan Bader,
I move up to number two contender.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alex moves up to number one contender.
Okay, and then you guys fight?
No, he
or
fights
you fight
for
John again.
Yeah, right. He fights John.
It's not always the number one.
Oh, no, no, definitely not.
Yeah. But you guys might meet at some point. You're in the same weight class. Who would win?
Well, well, you'd have to fight for to win.
Right.
You know? I mean, you just don't get anywhere having a good team and then fighting each other. You just can't. You know, that's like...
So you would try not to fight each other as much as possible.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, you give away all your
secrets.
Look,
I look at him. I don't want to fight him. I'm with you. You know. But that's because I'm scared.
I mean, of course. I mean, to the world, we portray ourselves like Iron Man when we go into battle. But the truth is, you know, we have all these aches and pains. And, you know, some days we're barely getting out of bed, you know.
Yeah.
And you just never want to, like, go in with somebody that's like, man, I wonder if his neck's still messed up.
Look, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, just,
you know. Alex, let me ask your opinion, if you don't mind. And I know you're not a doctor, but how do you feel about John Jones beating cocaine in one day in rehab? That's pretty impressive, right?
Just one day?
One day. He checked out after a day.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think it's possible he's one of the youngest UFC champions ever. He beat Shogun Hua
right.
to take the title
right.
in one day.
Right.
Uh-huh. Rome, as you guys know,
right.
was built in one day.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Wait, I heard it wasn't built in a day. Do I have that wrong all these years?
It was built in less than a day.
If okay. Phil says
okay.
it, it's true.
Okay. Yes. So, I mean, I don't see why you need all 12 steps.
Okay.
Guys, listen.
He's got one big step in him, maybe. That's
one
it.
Big step, that should do it. He has long legs. I believe in him.
Well, listen, do us a favor as fans, and both of you guys win on the 24th. Will you do that for us? Because we can't wait to see what happens after that. Not that we're looking ahead or anything, but it's 2015 looks like a very exciting year in the light heavyweight division.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right. Free on Fox, January 24th, live from the Tele2 Arena in Stockholm, Sweden. Let's all be rooting for Alexander Gustafsson and Phil Davis joining us here on the Kevin Durant Show on K-Rock. Thank you, man. Congratulations on all your success. Good luck.
Thank you.
Should have locked a beer mug in the newsroom with the Mahler for like 15 minutes. See what would be the result of that, huh?
Yeah. I don't think the Mahler had any interest in mauling.
No.
Today.
He doesn't maul before noon.
Nope.
Hey, K-Rock's World Tour 2015 Destination Number 1 is on the air, and it's fabulous. Starting at 9 o'clock this morning, and then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9, you can qualify for your chance to win a pair of passes to this year's Coachella, plus see any band playing Coachella again anywhere in the world that they play in 2015. You get to pick the band. You get to pick the city. That is awesome. Write details at krock.com. Your chance to win at 9 o'clock.
This past Saturday night, I got a direct message from Brad Williams, comedian. Mm-hmm. Friend of ours, that funny guy.
The birthday boy, by the way.
Birthday boy, yeah. And he was celebrating his birthday this past Saturday night. He said, hey, you know, if you're available, stop by. It might be fun. We're having a party from 9 to 1.
I saw some of Brad's photos that he tweeted of him in some very booby situations.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Brad's life.
Because he is exactly the right height to come up to every girl's chest.
Yes.
So all of the photos are him in between girls' boobs.
And the other thing is the natural defensiveness that most girls have to have because of the way guys are. They just drop all their defenses around Brad because he's a little dude and he's funny and they love him.
They don't feel threatened.
They don't care.
Yeah.
He gets away with so much.
He does. Because women have a thing for midgets. That's what Brad taught us.
So it's Saturday night, and he says, oh, yeah, it's at the Standard, and he gave me the information, and I was supposed to show up. And so we had a bunch of friends over, and after they were gone, and I don't know, it was like 11:15, and it was raining.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
It was coming down Saturday night, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Do I want to drive all the way? Oh, but I like Brad, so this will be fine. Get in my car, drive, get on the 101, go over Laurel Canyon, go to the Standard in West Hollywood. The valet parking is full because
mm-hmm.
it's now, you know, 12:15.
Right.
And so then I have to find a spot across the street, and it's $15. But I think, you know, I'm here. It's Brad's party.
Right.
It's not going to kill me. So I park, spend the $15, go across the street, and walk in and talk to a bouncer. And I say, hey, is there a birthday party here? And he says, not that I'm aware of. And I said, I guess it was a club called Spin.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have ping pong tables or something. And mm-hmm. the guy goes,
We don't have a place called that.
What?
And I said, what? And I showed him the King of Mexico's text because he had texted me. I said, is it too late to come? He says, no. You go up the escalator and then there's a club called Spin.
Right.
So I show it to the bouncer, who now I think is effing with me. Now I think, oh, maybe Brad set him up.
Oh.
And these guys are just having
looking
fun.
Looking for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're just messing with me.
Yeah,
sure.
And so I go, ah, come on, where is it? Seriously. Now I'm not arguing, but sort of a good-natured, hey, stop effing with me. I'd like to go to the party now. He reads the text from David. He goes, yeah, that's the standard downtown.
A different hotel?
Standard.
Oh.
A different standard.
I didn't know there was one downtown.
Nor did I, Lisa. Nor did I.
Oh, no.
So now, as I was walking back across the street to get my car, which I paid $15 to park for 4 minutes, this thought actually came to my head. I actually, maybe for the first time in my life, said, this is no way to run a life. So I get in my car, and now I'm thinking it's 12:20.
Now do I want to drive across town in the rain, pay another valet?
Maybe just go back home.
And the party's what, till 1?
Yeah, till 1.
The traffic is bad.
The traffic is terrible, yeah. So I think, you know what, it's Brad. I sort of told him I wanted to come, so I'll do it. So I drive all the way downtown, and I get there, and I drive past it, and it's raining, and I finally park, and I finally get up, and I get into the party, and I see Brad, and everybody has cupcakes, and everybody's having a good time. And comedian Adam Ray is there.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, let's play ping pong because there's some ping pong tables. I said, all right, good. And then the woman says, and I'm guessing this was 8 to 10 minutes after I arrived. All right, time's up, everybody. We're closing. So I drove for almost 2 hours, and I was there for about 8 minutes.
Out about $30 in parking.
Yep.
Right. Right.
And then
probably
I just
didn't have a drink.
Went back to my car. Drove home.
That is no way to run a life.
That's no way to run a life. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Alternative first. Nick Kroll from The Kroll Show joins us coming up after 8 o'clock.
Cutting edge.
Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, man?
I'm sorry. I was stuck in the tube of history there for a minute.
Understood.
Let me climb out.
That song holds up, by the way.
It is a good song.
I know it is 27 and a half years old, but I still enjoy it.
That
sounded like a question.
No, it's a great song.
Enjoy it.
Just saying.
I hear you.
People have made music since, right?
Sure.
Just double checking. I thought maybe it stopped. I thought maybe music stopped in 1987.
But I would like to say that there are times where the movie that you want to watch at home, Ralph, was made in 1971. They've made plenty of movies since then, but the old ones still hold up sometimes.
But they rarely show movies from 1971 in prime time. That's all I'm saying. Usually you got to go out and get that.
I hear you.
Got to fetch it from like your Amazon or your Netflix.
Fetch.
Got to fetch it.
I like it.
Speaking of Amazon, congratulations, Amazon. Quite a feather in your cap. Quite a coup. You know, first they got the Golden Globe for Transparent.
Right.
Their first foray into scripted television. Now Amazon announces they have just received a full season order for another series, half-hour comedy series, to be written and directed by a Mr. Wood E. Allen.
Yay!
Woody Allen.
No, not Woody Allen. Wood E. Allen. Different guy, but it's very, very close.
We misunderstood. We thought it was the acclaimed filmmaker.
No, I thought so, too. But actually, it is. It's Woody Allen. He is writing and directing his first created series. As Doc was quick to point out to me earlier when I reported the story, Woody Allen has done some television work before. He wrote comedy for variety shows and things like that.
Well, I did not know that.
But this is the first series that he has created specifically for television. And some people are saying it's not television. It's internet. So I can't make many people happy with this story today.
Those
but
people need to get over it.
Still,
this is television.
Woody Allen is going to write and direct a series for Amazon. And it's pretty cool.
So they do all this, Ralph. I mean, Netflix puts the money in because they want you to pay to subscribe. Same thing with Amazon.
Yes.
They're trying to get more people to pony up the $99 for the Prime shipping.
For Prime, yes. If you are a member of Amazon Prime, then you get the instant videos. First of all, you get, there's a ton of movies that the, if you're in Amazon Prime, you can get for
right.
nothing.
And thousands of songs, too.
Right.
MP3s
and
that are
TV
available
shows.
For as a Prime member. Yeah.
And now this original programming, they are trying to use as an incentive to get people to pony up, like you said, for the Amazon Prime package.
And a lot of us, you know, if you have a fairly current television, you can watch Amazon Prime on your TV, too.
Yeah.
You don't even have to watch it on your computer.
Amazon Prime, by the way, not to tout Amazon. Because certainly, if I was doing that, I should be reimbursed in some way.
You would think.
But this, I'm not being paid for this. But if you're a regular user of Amazon at all, like I am, the Prime is worth it because of the shipping. You get free shipping.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally worth it.
So, all kinds of benefits. And now you get Woody Allen.
That's a coup, man.
Woody Allen said, I don't know how I got into this. I have no ideas, and I'm not sure where to begin. My guess is that President Roy Price will regret this. So. He's still wood. He's still the wood man.
Yes, he is.
Death Cab for Cutie's ready to release its first album without guitarist, keyboard player, and producer Chris Walla. It's a follow-up to their 2011 album, Codes and Keys. This album was produced by Rich Costley, who has produced such bands as Franz Ferdinand, Muse, and Interpol. So, pretty good pedigree there.
That's a big loss, though, losing Chris Walla.
It is. It's a big
part. He was not a peripheral member. He was pretty key.
Big part of that band. So people are interested to see how, you know, they will carry on without him. When Death Cab tours later this year, they will bring a few musicians with them to replace the space left by Chris. But there's no plans to bring on anyone full-time as of right now. So we'll have to wait and see.
I'm not often depressed enough to pull out my Death Cab albums, but when I am, I'm glad they're there.
Really? I find that hard to believe. Given your penchants for nerve damage and passing out, I thought this would be a good time for you to pull those out right about now.
Can I tell you guys my favorite Death Cab song?
Yes.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I?
That's what I like.
I enjoyed the half of the clip you played.
You're doing good stuff.
Doing good work over there. Hey, Marvel Comics icon Stan Lee has been announced will be showing up on Marvel's Agent Carter.
Of course he is.
Copycat. What, I got to do it? Now Stan Lee's got to do it? Everything I do, Stan Lee has to do?
Get your own life, Stan Lee.
I believe Stan has a history of appearing in a cameo in Marvel productions.
He'd like you to believe that.
Going back
that.
A lot of years.
He'd like you to believe that. Cameo will be in the January 27th episode.
When's the Radio Boy announcer man coming back? That was the best part of Agent Carter.
There is talk about him returning for another episode. That's all I'm allowed to say.
By the way, I know it was a cameo, and I know you kind of sold yourself short that you were only on screen for a minute.
Well, it actually was
a pretty key point. I mean, a humorous plot point of the whole show, though, about how she's being portrayed on the radio versus how her real life is. It was actually kind of important to the story.
Oh, I didn't say the writing wasn't good. I mean, it was very clever how they worked
very
that
clever.
Into the episode. I'm just saying my role was insignificant.
I think you're more important than you realize.
I think you're very nice, but I think you have nerve damage. Everywhere. It extends to your brain somehow. Now, this is good TV news. Showtime has announced. There are, it was announced before. Dave Lynch talked about it, but he is bringing Twin Peaks back to Showtime. The news is, however, that they have just signed their lead, and that lead will be, once again, Kyle MacLachlan. We'll be back as FBI agent Dale Cooper. The
Fantastic.
Show will take place in present day, and you get to see what happened to all the characters since the old show ended. So they have to fill in 20 years worth of backstory there.
If you're not familiar with the name David Lynch, you're going to want to watch this. This is going to be the weirdest thing that you've seen.
Yeah, he is writing and directing this series again, like he did the original series, along with his friend Mark Frost. So, is it Mark Frost?
Mark Frost, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the pilot to Twin Peaks was probably one of the five best pilots I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just blew our minds, that show.
It's so weird, yet compelling, and weird, but completely understandable and followable, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yep. Not weird just for weird's sake.
Right, it wasn't like you're saying, I'm confused, yet. What's going on? You got it, but it was just, everything felt off. Everything was disturbing on every level.
Awesome way.
In an awesome way, yeah. So, looking forward to that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Hemsworth is 25 years old today.
He almost deserves a bell, man.
He is so dreamy. Joe Wagner's 36, Orlando Bloom is 38, Michael Peña is 39, Patrick Dempsey is 49 years old, Julia Louis-Dreyfus celebrates her 54th birthday, and if he had invited me to his party, I would have announced Brad Williams' birthday today. Midget comedian Brad Williams is a dick. And he's also 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you see Nick Kroll out there today, tell him Kevin and Bean say hi. And ask if that name sounds familiar to them.
Oh, snap!
As a show that maybe he's supposed to be at and on right now.
No, you didn't!
I'm just saying, Mr. Kroll, not exactly here yet, but we're looking forward to him perhaps later in the hour. First, though, Ralph, you are here, and last night you had another very exciting Monday night. I'm sure you were watching the College Football National Championship going, hey, go Buckeyes, right?
Here's the thing. I was filming a movie last night.
Oh.
Until around 10.
Okay.
And then I came home and watched The Bachelor for 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
And I went to bed after midnight.
Mm-hmm. Did that make you hate this feature?
No.
You love it.
Kid me, it's good. This season, I dare say, may be the best Bachelor ever.
Wow. It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking hallelujah. Girls crying hallelujah. Girls crazy hallelujah.
Bring up your partner in crime, the great Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Hey, P, how you doing, buddy?
How am I sounding?
Ah, great. Clear as a bell.
Yeah, no, I want to thank you guys for having all the people in the city yelling at me about how crappy my phone was all week. It was a really great feeling.
You know what? You know you can fix that is not have a crappy phone.
Don't have a crappy phone. No, this is much better, P. Hey, listen, before we talk about the specifics of last night's episode, Ralph says he thinks this might be the best Bachelor season yet. Your thoughts, sir?
I strenuously object, and maybe it's because of how my phone was treated last week. But I don't know, Ralph, if this guy has the chops to carry, personality-wise, to carry us the next couple months. This is a long, dare I say, journey.
Yes.
And these are a bunch of skilas. In Greek, we would call them skilas. These chicks are dogs, man.
Oh, you're crazy. I think this may be the best-looking batch of bachelorettes we've had in a long time.
Man, you stopped. You ain't seeing right no more.
You are wrong, sir. And not only that, who cares about Chris Soules, the Bachelor, whether he's got charisma or not, because this may be the craziest, drunkest batch of women we've ever had as well.
Yeah, well, he had a crazy chick and a drunk chick, and they're really, I mean, they're if you have a crazy chick who's on like a 9 out of 10, this one's, I mean, she's Go Ask Alice crazy.
Yes, she's certifiably nuts.
And then you just have the girl that's drunk at the bar at 6 o'clock that goes home with anybody. I mean, just the lush of the bar is in this, but she got sent, right?
Yes.
So all we have left is the crazy chick.
But we have plenty of death, too, P. Plenty of death this season.
What are you talking about, death?
Well, what I want on my first date. I can't wait to tell Chris that my husband killed himself.
Oh my God.
That happened? That was revealed last night. At first, we knew we had one widow on the show because she said in her tape package before she even got there that she lost her beloved husband. He had a sudden massive heart attack and died at a very young age.
Okay.
It was tragic. Last night, we find out that Julia had her husband, father of her child, kill himself after the child was born.
Oh, my God.
The nice part was that she revealed that the child would no longer now recognize the man's voice.
Yes.
Which was really, that was entertaining, because I stayed up all night doing the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
And I came home and was really entertained by that. And then we had the woman whose father died almost the moment she was told she was going, he had a heart attack when she was told she was going to be on The Bachelor, and he dropped dead.
Right, and she went anyway.
And it's good to tell Chris all this stuff right on the first date so he doesn't feel guilty or weird or think.
Yeah, there's no pressure. Like there's no pressure there to stand up and do the right thing and make this woman an honest woman again after her sudden widowdom. Wow, that's intense, you guys.
Then we had Mackenzie, who said how much she loved his big nose and then immediately asked him if he believed in aliens.
That was weird.
Come on! This is crazy!
You're right. The women are nuts and entertaining. I don't think they're very attractive. I like the fatties. I thought he should have kept the plus size model.
Yeah.
I was very adamant about that last week, if you guys would have been able to hear me. But uh-huh. I don't know why he wants all these women with the stink of mourning on them. You know, I mean, it's just... I mean, that's a heavy deal.
Because his other choice is Jordan, who is so drunk so often. Well, here's a little piece of Jordan. Here's a little piece of tape where she's talking about another girl, Jillian, who's sort of the buff bodybuilder, and how hairy Jillian's ass is.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Jillian has got the hairiest ass I've ever seen on a woman. Like, it's very close to several of my ex-boyfriends. He fuzzed up with all of you. Like, this is like hair inside your... Like, she needs to, like, take a weed whacker. Like, yeah. Like, it's just not normal.
I think I love her.
There's Jordan.
I think I love her.
My favorite part is, you know, there's a room full of producers, like, egging her on and making her act dumber and drunker.
Right.
And laughing at how she's destroying her life.
Doesn't sound like she needs much encouragement in
no,
that area.
No.
Hey, Ralph, what about the girl that you were so sweet on last week, whose name I don't recall,
Britt.
Who was a waitress. Yes, Britt. What about her? You thought she was maybe the most beautiful contestant ever on The Bachelor,
yes.
Right?
I told you about her Scientology cross tattoo, didn't I?
You did, yes.
Right. You understood that. She's an idiot.
She's not an idiot. Why do you hate everyone?
They're all virgins or psychos or dealing with extreme loss. This isn't marriage material for a farmer.
This is what's weird. Ralph loves it. P loves it, and for completely different reasons.
I think the more dysfunctional the batch of women is, the more entertaining it is for all of us. And no one's crazier than Ashley. Ashley, I thought last week was drunk when she was talking about the onion and how the onion gets peeled and is it a pomegranate or an onion? I said, oh, she's just drunk. No, she's psychotic.
Oh, really?
This is her sober talking to the rest of your girls.
Where did you go? Where are you going?
I heard the truth. That's all.
Don't say anything.
Yeah. The truth. I mean, that's how I feel.
What? How are you feeling?
Like, that's how I feel. It's like, boom.
What?
What's boom?
What? Boom, what? Like the truth.
What is?
Boom.
What is the truth?
What's the truth? Boom.
Oh, God. Go, like, go.
Go? What?
Go find your own way to the truth.
I just don't know what you're talking about.
I love her.
I think she's a ghost.
She may be. And then Chris, the Bachelor, is trying to do an interview, and she kind of walks into the frame and just starts talking to him. Crazy talk.
She seems like a great girl, really, and just, I don't know if this has just gotten to her. I don't know what's going on. I feel bad.
Whoa. I'm not just gonna be fake with you.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Are you?
I am fine. I'm great.
Your leather smells really great.
Are you holding up okay?
No. I don't even know what you're asking me.
I'm honestly just asking how you're feeling and how you're holding up. So I can tell you got a lot on your mind.
You don't want to lose the whole world, right?
No.
But actually, you don't want to gain the whole world. You want to lose your soul.
It's a fact.
I don't understand any of this.
Then he gave her a rose and brought her back for next week.
After... You know, that can't be right, though, right? I mean, they had to just tell him, hey, we need our show sucks. We're in our 40th season. We need to keep the Manson chick around.
I would be
freaked out, though, if I was another contestant, another one of these thirsty people for fame. I would be really freaked out. I mean, because she seems like that's how you act in a mental hospital.
Yeah, she is like a psychotic break.
This is a spectacular group.
So, I mean, I like the way that the farmer handled it there, but how is he in general with all these crazy L.A. women? Is it a real shock to him coming from a small town in Iowa to deal with some of these people?
Well, he did The Bachelor last year. He's just as thirsty as the rest of these chicks. And he's walking around trying to act swole with his shirt off and with his zipper all the way down to his navel like he's from the Dominican Republic. Nobody is innocent here. They're all compromising their dignity and the dignity of their families to be
They're all war criminals. It's just to what degree, right?
Correct.
I might have to start watching this season.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Next week, Chris Soules, The Bachelor, gets a little help in trying to pick the right woman from an old friend of yours.
An old friend of whose?
Yours.
Ours?
Yes.
An old friend of ours.
What do you mean? Yes. What? What are you talking about?
A special guest star on next week's Bachelor.
An old friend of ours.
Yes.
Is his
just
name?
Think who does a lot of stuff on network television that you guys are friends with?
For ABC.
Yeah, it's got to be James. James Kimmel has got to make an appearance on The Bachelor, right?
Wow, you guys. Wow.
All right, Pete. Not so much from you. You're on AM. Never forget that.
Jimmy shows up in the middle of the night and wakes him up and says, "Hi, I'm here to help you."
What the hell?
Yeah, so next week, Jimmy Kimmel's special guest.
You know what I think's going to happen?
No, tell us.
I think they might use his talk show and interview the ladies.
To promote the broadcast of The Bachelor?
I think so.
Oh,
I
wow.
Think they might have the chicks dance. They might have them dress up, you know, kind of sexy.
And I thought Jimmy just loved this show, but you're telling me there may be some sort of cross-promotion going on?
Yeah, it's great. Like the college football game last night.
Look,
know?
Here's the one thing we know about Jimmy. He loves crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got plenty of that.
Yeah, he's going to enjoy this season.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, P, I don't know how busy you are this morning, but you're filling in for Nick Kroll. You want to hang on and we can talk about the college football game last night, too?
Isn't that the guy going out with Amy Poehler?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Copy that. You want me to become a football analyst?
Sure. We do. Could you take off your bachelor hat and put your sports hat back on, and we'll talk to you again in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'm going to keep my ass hat on, though, bro. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you
don't have to watch. Lisa, you've had something stuck in your throat for about 3 months.
I'd say 5 years.
Okay, 5 years.
That's just me. It's counting. Right.
Right. It's kind of turning me on, if I can be honest.
Oh.
Maybe that's my active imagination running away. Hey, last night was the first college football playoff championship under the new system, Ohio State versus Oregon. The game was in Texas, but that didn't stop Columbus, Ohio from burning down last night. Did you see any of the video, you guys?
I did not, know.
No.
Tear gas. Pepper spray, 90 fires set in the city of Columbus last night, mostly around the campus after the game.
It's not a party until you get pepper spray.
It's not a party until you get pepper spray. You have often said that, Kevin. And we welcome to the program our old friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show. P, I feel like we haven't talked to you in a long time. How you been, buddy?
How you guys doing, man? You know,
long
I had a kid.
What? You're kidding.
Yeah, like
congratulations.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, I know you were working on the Fox Sports TV last night, and you'll be talking about it a bunch on the radio today, but I was just wondering what your thoughts were. Did the game meet your expectations last night?
Well, no. I predicted an Oregon victory probably because of my West Coast bias,
sure,
but which doesn't exist much. But I was really impressed and kind of shocked that Ohio State did what they did with a third-string quarterback. Now, the one thing that was not shocking, but it doesn't seem to happen very often, is that Oregon is not a very physical football team, and every once in a while that gets deeply exploited in a loss, and that's what happened in the game.
But why did Oregon look like such a barn burner at the Rose Bowl? They looked like they couldn't be beat, and then they turn around like 10 days later, and this happens.
Because when Florida State turned the ball over consecutively, much like Ohio State did at a certain point in the football game, Oregon was able to capitalize with touchdowns. And in this game, by this reason or that reason, whatever drive I'm talking, there was two times they got stopped within the five and had to kick field goals. And because of that, they got beat up. They could not stop a certain run play Ohio State was running. And because of that, the game just continued to play out, and they were kind of in a stranglehold. Ohio State did a great job, too, at playing Oregon's offense in a way that made them make decisions that they didn't really want to make.
I got to tell you, P, I was watching part of the game last night, and I was remembering you telling us the difference between college and pro is that in college they're much younger and they make way more mistakes, and that was pretty evident last night.
Yeah, and you see it in big games like that. I mean, that's an unbelievable stage. And whenever some idiot walks up to you and says, like, your pro football team's so bad that fill in the blank, I guess because Ohio State's the champion, you'd say Ohio State could beat them.
Right.
That would never happen, ever. In fact, somebody might be killed in that game. Because what you're talking about is you have a 17 or 18-year-old guys out there. The youngest guys could be seniors in high school sometimes with their age. and you put that up against some 23-year-old dude who's a grown-ass man with a full-on beard,
yeah,
you know, that's college football. So you do have mistakes on a big stage like that, and people do freak out in the moment. But overall, I thought it was a really entertaining game. I think it was the most watched game in the history of that network, ESPN, which is pretty damn impressive.
Wow.
And I thought it was a great season. I thought people enjoyed the whole playoff format.
Tell me how remarkable this young quarterback Jones is for Ohio State. He has played in three college football games, and all three of them have been essentially championship games, right?
Yeah, and all three of them have been against the Heisman winner and the two finalists. Melvin Gordon from Wisconsin, they kicked their ass. Amari Cooper from Alabama, they kicked their ass. And then they ass-kicked all the way into the new year with Marcus Mariota, who won the Heisman, beating Oregon. Did you see, have you seen this guy in the face, you guys?
No, no.
He looks like he's 100 years old. Like, he looks like...
Really?
He looks like he could be LeBron James's dad. Like that.
what's the problem?
A lot of us in the world of football, especially after retiring, suffer from a serious ailment known as BFS. Have you heard of this?
Nah.
I'm glad I could bring awareness to your listeners.
Please.
Big face syndrome.
No.
You know, a lot of us in football, we eat, we're big, we lift weights, and our faces become almost Easter Island-like.
Remember I used to think that during the O.J. trial. I couldn't get over how huge his head was.
His head is a marvel. Up close, I've seen it in person, and it's like a suitcase. His head is truly, truly a wonder. But
so this kid already has that.
His face cannot even be contained by the face mask.
And how old is he?
He went to prep school, so he's like 21, but he's looking, he looks like he just had his 50th, like everybody gave him over the hill balloons, you know, and he was just, could not be tackled. He's gigantic, 6'6", 265, probably closer to 270.
Do you think he'd be willing to play for the Arizona Cardinals next year?
I think, well, he could come out. That's the interesting thing about it.
And, after playing three games.
Yeah, and that's happened before. I mean, Matt Castle's an NFL quarterback that I played with, and he played maybe about two meaningful series at USC, never started a game, and he's been paid more in the NFL than a lot of those quarterbacks that have come out of USC in that era. And he
that's interesting.
You know, so it happens from time to time, but the interesting thing with Ohio State is they have three quarterbacks. Two of them are either going to go to the NFL or transfer to other teams.
How about that? One last question for you, P, and thank you so much for doing double duty for us here today. And that is, I didn't see it, but a lot of people online last night were talking about the marching band that figured out a way to dot the I. Can you explain that to me, please?
I did not see how the I was dotted.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
apparently it's a breakthrough in marching bands, though, I understand.
Well, I mean, look, I'm a West Coast person, and I went to USC.
And right.
People think that I don't love my alma mater, but they're wrong. And there's nothing like the spirit of Troy. I mean, my God, that marching band was in the Naked Gun. But,
right. But did they
no more.
Have they dotted an I?
Well, no. But
all right.
Cares? There's no I in USC Trojans.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
There's an I in Ohio. You know, the people that burnt down their city when they won a football game.
Right.
And some dorky white guy high steps out and like with a tuba and dots the I. That's how I understand it. But
okay.
Dotted it last night. Maybe they dotted it with like a big chicken or something because they're in Texas. I don't know.
All right. Ohio State national champions 42-20 with their win over the very sad Oregon Ducks. P, we love you, man. Let's figure out something else we can do with you and come back and talk more in 5 minutes.
I can do Vanderpump Rules.
Nope.
By the way, our guest, Nick Kroll, has been located with his head on his pillow and his eyes closed.
What?
That's what Nick's got going on here this morning.
But he's supposed to be here.
Yeah, he decided sleeping was better, and who can blame him, really? I think he made the right choice now that I think about it.
Especially if you sleep next to Amy Poehler.
That's not a bad deal
either.
You
know what I'm
saying?
I believe we all do, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, it's been a while, but how about a new round of a game that we like to call... Bean makes us guess.
That sounds like crap.
That's not the right thing. We want the other thing, don't we?
Beer mug.
Let's try the other thing. It's a little game that we like to call Bean makes us guess.
Better.
Yes.
Better. All right. I was fascinated by this, and I'm particularly fascinated because I think there are a lot of things that we do in our lives that we think are normal because it's the way we do it. The foods that we like are the right foods. The movies that we watch are the good movies.
In my case, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. The porn that we prefer is the normal porn. And that's where this comes into play, because Pornhub, who's one of the most popular of all of the porn sites on the internet around the world, and especially here in the United States, has just released their 2014 Year in Review, an in-depth report on the most popular search terms on their site for 2014 in the United States.
Search terms.
I was very surprised by some of the things that made their list and some of the things that did not.
Now, can we say most of these words?
Most. There are a couple that maybe not. Right. Most of them you can. Most of them. So these are the terms that people type into their Pornhub browser to look for what kind of porn they're in the mood for that day. Again, it's a feature that we like to call Bean Makes Us Guess. So let's just play a few rounds here and see how much time we have. Kevin, why don't we start with you?
Brown eye.
We have the top 20 on the board, and I'm sorry, brown eye did not make the list on Pornhub.
Okay.
Ralph, you're up. You want to guess one of the top 20 searches on Pornhub?
Lesbian.
Lesbian, ladies and gentlemen, is number one.
Of course.
Number one.
Yeah,
Ralph just comes in and nails it.
Well, I know what people like when it comes to their kinky sides.
All right, somebody keep a score. Maybe Lisa, you can keep score because you're the girl and you're secretary. So, so Kevin has zero. Ralph has one. It is now your turn, though.
Bondage.
I am going to say that bondage is a great guess. That is not in the top 20.
What?
Really?
Not in the top 20.
What?
Wow. Back to me?
No, but
back
to you. Lisa's using her shirt.
First one that came to mind.
Threesome.
Let me see. Threesome, yes. Threesome, these aren't numbered, but I'm guessing it looks like it's around number 10 on the list.
Thank you.
So, yes, congratulations.
Okay.
A point for Kevin for threesome. Ralph, you're up.
Interracial.
Let me see.
What are you doing?
I'm reading the top 20.
Oh.
There are several search terms related to race, but not that one. I cannot allow it.
Huh.
I am so sorry. Lisa, you're up.
Well, okay, so lesbian. What about, would gay be separate from that?
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Kevin, you're up.
Gay. Yeah. Pornhub's mostly used by straight white men, Lisa, so they don't look for a lot of
gay porn. I like gay porn.
Well, maybe bisexual.
Tuna melt. There's tuna melt on there.
Oh. Kevin, you're very good at this game, but I'm sorry, no tuna. There is no listing for tuna melt porn.
Come on, why not?
I'm sorry to say.
What's happening?
All right, Ralph Garman.
Cuckold.
I'm not even sure what that is, but it is also not on the list. I'm sorry to say.
Rape.
Lisa May!
What?
Wow!
I'm just going to...
Jeez. Are you kidding me?
No!
Jesus Christ!
What's that fantasy?
Wow.
No!
Wow!
No! They wouldn't
on the list?
They wouldn't even allow that. They wouldn't even allow that on the site. You can't put rape porn up.
What is wrong
with
rape?
You?
Jesus Christ!
Relax,
won't you?
We were just having a conversation that was fun. What happened?
Suck all the air out of the room. Thanks so much.
Sit down, Cosby.
I have one.
What?
MILF.
Oh, good one.
MILF is number five on the
list,
Kevin. Yes, congratulations. That is a point for you. We got time for another couple of rounds real fast.
How do I say this? Can I say this? I think I can. Could you say something related to the anus?
Depending on what it is, yeah.
Say anal?
I'm going to say, shockingly, not on the list.
What? This is a bogus list.
It's not my list. It's Pornhub's list as released.
They sit on the throne of lies.
Why would they lie about that? Who cares?
I am sorry that anal is not on the list. Let's go to Rapey and see what she's got.
I'm afraid to guess now.
Well, why don't you guess something that is in the realm of possibility?
Well, did all the
something wholesome
stuff.
And polite.
And I...
All right, your turn, Lisa.
I don't know. Group sex.
Ooh, group.
All right. Let me see. You already said threesome, right, Kevin?
Yeah, he said threesome, but I'm going for more. Yeah.
Do we give her credit for gangbang, which is on the list at number 19?
Yeah,
let's give Lisa a point. Gangbang is
just gangbang? To keep... You guys want
just
to keep
her. That's fun. Gangbang's fun.
Just Lisa.
Keep her from guessing again.
It's consensual.
That's the difference. All right, let's go around one more time, and then I'll tell you what else is on the list that we didn't come up with.
Queef.
Oh, God.
Queen Ralph Latifah? Grubman. What'd you say?
Yes, Queen Latifah. That's what he said. Ralph Garvin, your final guess.
My final guess.
There's some huge categories that have been untouched by you guys in this game that I'm shocked by.
Things I want to see, I can't say for fear of...
But you could give maybe...
But these are legit. These are legit in words you can say.
Boobs. Big boobs.
No. And again, that is why I have a that's why I'm as puzzled by you as some of the things on this list, because that would have been my tops.
Okay. Really, really, really fat.
BBW, as they say.
I'm sorry.
Nope. Really, really, really fat.
No, like really fat.
Big, beautiful women.
All right. Here's
How about BJ?
Here's what's on the list, guys, because we're out of time that we didn't guess. Lesbian was the number one search term on Pornhub for 2014 in the United States. Number two was stepmom.
Stepmom.
Number three was teen, which is one I kind of expected somebody was going to guess.
Yeah,
number four, and I know that this is an oddball category, but a lot of people are into, is cartoon. Cartoon sex, a lot of people are into that.
Huh.
Kevin, I think you came up with MILF at number five.
I did.
Followed by ebony, and then the word squirt.
Oh, come on.
And then the word stepsister.
Oh, step.
What's with all the step family members?
Why didn't Lisa think of that? Then massage. Then mom, and then I think, Kevin, you came up with threesome. Then
mom.
Comes
mom. Wait, back up.
Not even stepmom.
Yeah, really.
Then comes babysitter. Then the next one I can't say. Then black. Okay. Then big ass. Big ass on the list, by the way, not big boobs. Then
all about the base, man.
Then henta, hentel, henta. What's that, Ralph?
Hentai.
That's another kind of drawing,
it's a
right?
Japanese anime,
Japanese
porn,
manga,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then college, then teacher, then gangbang, and finally rounding out the list at number 20 was Asian. So no boobs on the list at all in the top 20 for search engines.
What's happening?
Yeah, with all the moms and sisters and stuff.
Yeah.
You sure this isn't your search engine?
No, this is Pornhub. This is 2014 Year in Review, and this has been. Beat Mason's guess.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
How far – it's hard to keep track with all the sports going on at once, but how far are we into the basketball season right now?
I don't
– almost half, maybe?
Yeah, maybe,
something
yeah.
like that? All right, so it's about time for Dave to bring his Clipper song in, right?
Yeah, sure. Maybe a little late, but okay.
Finally, Dave will debut. The King of Mexico has a brand new song in tribute to his beloved Clippers that we'll hear right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with a showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
It's new release day, new release day.
It's exciting. I always like it.
Here's what you can get on CD. Mark Ronson has a new album. Uptown Special.
Like very excited about this.
I like that Uptown Funk song. That's good.
Yeah.
He's a talented dude.
Meghan Trainor.
Oh.
Finally releasing her CD.
She's the All About the Bass girl.
She is All About the Bass.
Yes, she is.
It's entitled Title.
That's the title of it?
Title of her CD is Title.
Okay.
Little work. Just asking you to put a little work
feels
in.
Feels a little lazy.
That's all. Why don't you just call it CD?
Yeah.
DVDs. If you missed any of these movies, you can check them out. Men, Women, and Children with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Garner. Nope.
That's a thing?
Didn't miss it. Not going to watch it.
I don't remember that even coming out.
Same.
Two Faces of January. Viggo Mortensen and Kirsten Dunst.
Never heard of it.
All right.
Someone's making these up, right? This is a Mad Libs
game. I don't even
know
what that is.
This one I want to see. A Walk Among the Tombstones. Liam Neeson plays a private eye, former cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson kicking ass, pretty much.
I'll shoot you. I've got very special skills to kill you with. Gone Girl, Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. Boy, that Rosamund Pike.
Yeah, she's a good deal. I had forgotten until the new Vanity Fair came out this week, Ralph, that she is a former Bond girl
as
well.
Oh,
yeah. I totally forgot about that.
That's where I discovered her, was in the Bond movie. TV shows on DVD, Boardwalk Empire Season 5, The Bridge Season 2, House of Lies Season 3, Tyrant Season 1, and Episodes Season 3. That's what's available. That's what's new.
Okay.
You know what else is new? Twin Peaks is coming back. That's new. Showtime announced yesterday that they are bringing a rebooted Twin Peaks to their network. And the real exciting news was when David Lynch said that Kyle MacLachlan will be back as FBI agent Dale Cooper.
Oh, can't wait.
That music alone just puts you right there.
Absolutely.
It?
Such a weird series.
Good man, Cope. The sheriff's a good man.
You need to find out who killed the Palmer girl, Coop. Yeah.
Why did he keep yelling? What was this?
He was deaf.
He was hard of hearing. Yeah. I'm delighted that Agent Dale Cooper is coming back. Absolutely delighted. But we have no idea. It's supposed to be set in present day. We've heard that.
Yes.
We have no idea what other characters are going to be part of this through line, right?
Right.
But it's David Lynch. You know, it's going to be so weird.
No, there's going to be a midget.
It's got to be a midget.
How excited is Brad Williams?
Maybe he'll get the job. Maybe he'll, is a midget from the original series? Is he still alive?
I believe he's passed.
I believe the
backward talking midget has passed.
That job's open, Brad.
One is more than one for Micah. And you're the grand put right one, and I pray against vain.
That was weird. I never understood that.
Because it's craziness.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for the show.
And
I want to see it now.
The great Jack Nance, he's no longer with us, sadly.
No,
but he was
a great
part of that show.
You know who is still with us?
Who? Charlene Fan?
I can't remember her name.
I can't remember
Lara
her name.
Lara Boyle.
My favorite guy. Ray Wise.
Ray Wise, absolutely.
Yeah.
He looks as good today as he did then, too.
Played Lara's dad, remember? Bob.
Right.
Bob was the one who took him over.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
For the series from 1990?
That's right.
Boy, rarely has a show dropped in quality so much from season one to season two, though.
It did seem like they told the story they had to tell in the first one, more or less.
Right.
Yeah. But I liked the movie, Fire Walk With Me. I liked the feature film. I thought it was real good. And that was sort of a continuation of the series as well. So,
you know who else was on that series, Ralph, that I just remembered and was also in the movie is singer Chris Isaak.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Right. He was another FBI agent.
A cop. That's right.
You know who else was in both of those? My friend Michael Parks played the French-Canadian owner of One Eye Jack, the Bordello Casino there north of the border
in
Canada.
I feel like the fun left this story about a minute ago.
What, the music stopped?
But we're all going to be eating cherry pie again, you guys.
Oh, cherry pie!
That real-life diner that they filmed it in is probably about an hour outside of Seattle, and it has done tourist business ever since that series hit the air. People still go in there for their famous pie.
Have you gone there?
I've not.
Of course not, Ralph.
I love Twin Peaks, and it's about an hour away. I've not gone.
That,
of course,
is
not.
Maddening when you tell stories like that. You and your...
It's a waste of a life.
It really is.
I don't get out. I don't leave a lot.
I know, and yet you talk so much.
He said there's
about so many things and places.
Remember, there used to be a hostel with like a nude night.
Yes,
within walking distance of us. Never checked it out.
Yeah.
Not once.
There's a coffee shop around the corner from where the girls would serve coffee in lingerie.
Yeah,
never went. He never went to that.
Haven't been to that actually. Yeah. I've been meaning to get there. I haven't done that.
But he's had haircuts in 13 states.
You
son of a bitch.
You're a giant.
You son of a bitch.
Pile of fail.
That's what you are.
You're a giant pile of fail.
Yeah, congratulations while we're talking TV to Amazon. They've got a new TV series that's going to be written and directed by the legendary Woody Allen. This is a big, big feather in their cap. Of course, they've already got a Golden Globe for that Transparent series. And now Woody Allen is going to write a half-hour sitcom or some sort of comedy series for them. They've already ordered a full season, even though Woody himself admits, I have no ideas and I'm not sure where to begin.
Excellent.
So that's the kind of money Amazon has. You know what? We don't care. You have no ideas? Take our money anyway. Call us when you have a series.
I like it.
We'll be here. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Hemsworth is 25 years old today. That bastard Brad Williams, he's 31 years old.
Your former friend.
Former friend. Joe Wagner's 36. Orlando Bloom is 38. Michael Pena is 39. Patrick Dempsey's 49. He looks too damn good. And speaking of looking good, Julia Louis-Dreyfus celebrates her 54th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Ralph, you seem fired up about this particular showbiz beat. I have a feeling it's going to be something special.
It is something special. It's me debuting new music.
Oh.
From the best band in the world.
The best band in the world. New Muse? Name, new Muse song, maybe?
No.
I'm just trying to think who might have something coming out that we would be excited about.
The best band in the world.
Best band. Rage Against the Machine.
No.
Best band in the world.
Wow. Boy, that's a tough one.
Foo Fighters.
How about the Foo Fighters? You got new Foo Fighters?
They pale in comparison to this band.
What?
Better than the Foo Fighters.
Of course, much better.
The Waitresses.
Now it's close.
That's an excellent
even
guess.
Better, even better than the Waitresses.
All right. I'm going to give up in the interest of saving time here and just ask, who do you have for us?
Slim Bone Head Vault.
What? Who is Slim Bone Head Holt?
Slim that Head Holt. Slim Bone Head Volt.
Who is that?
I don't know what that is, but I like it.
Just actor Vincent D'Onofrio and musician Dana Lynn.
They're back.
They're the ones who gave us I'm a Hamster.
They're back. They
I love follow I'm a
up. They got a follow-up to I'm a Hamster?
Their album's not even out yet. It's not even out until March 3rd. And slowly they're releasing some of the singles off this album.
Oh, this is great news.
For those who are unfamiliar with Slim Bone Head Volt, it is two people. Vincent D'Onofrio, who you probably know from Law & Order, SVU.
Yeah.
He was on that for many years. He was also Private Pyle in Full Metal Jacket. Remember the
right. Terrific actor.
Terrific actor. He is also a spoken word artist. And musician Dana Lynn, she's an experimental musician. And so she lays down a bed, and he speaks over it. Do you have a little hamster? You have a, let's give people a taste of their old hit.
Bean, can you grab hamster?
Yes, let me give me 1 second here.
Yeah, because hamster really, I don't think we gave it its due.
That was the introduction, really, to this band.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel?
Yeah.
The whole song is great. I wish we had time to play more, but the whole song is worth checking out.
Yes. Well, now they've got a new song out called Blanche.
Blanche.
Blanche. And it is Vincent D'Onofrio bemoaning the fact that no matter how successful his acting career is, audiences will never see the role he was born to play, which is that of Blanche DuBois, the female lead from Streetcar Named Desire.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
That, he thinks, is who he really is supposed to play. This 300-pound, 6-foot-4 man is supposed to play the feminine Blanche DuBois.
This might be my new favorite band.
Please enjoy Blanche.
They will not share my Blanche with me. They won't have her, even though she needs to be had. I need to be had. My past, like hers, was a little loose. My past, as was hers, was a little rough around the edges. The loves of my life are unspoken and spoken all at the same time, in a different time. Is now the time? I'm wet with time, and time is mine.
Wait, he's wet with
and
what?
And she is me as I smell her perfume on me.
Yep. I'm wet with time.
He's wet with time.
He's wet with time.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but now I'm wet with time.
Two words, you guys.
Stop it. Breakfast with?
First one is weenie. Second one is roast.
Breakfast with! Whatever breakfast weenie with. Roast.
Yeah, even better.
Breakfast
keep
with
all of ourselves.
Slim Bone Head Volt.
Wow.
That's a great band name.
It sure is. And they're a great band. Maybe the best band in the world.
It's very exciting, Ralph. Well done.
Thank you so much. Wanted to bring that to you hot off the press. Speaking of hot off the press, Amazon announced today that they're doing another TV show. You know, they were rewarded at the Golden Globes over the weekend for their groundbreaking TV show Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor. Now, Amazon Studios has announced it has signed legendary writer-director Woody Allen to create a half-hour series for them. They've already given him a full season order. All their episodes will be written and directed by Allen, although he admits at this point, I have no ideas and I'm not sure where to begin.
All right, good. All
he knows. There are writers right now with a gun to their head listening to this broadcast saying, I have 19 TV series that I've created sitting here in my drawer. They can't get a deal.
Well, the dude has a track record of making a movie a year for 50 years.
He does seem to be able to create stuff.
He'll come up with something.
So yeah, he will.
He'll probably come up
with something. The only question is, which teenage girl is going to get casted in?
I'll dare you, sir. Does take place in an all-girls school, I'm sure, the story. There's a kindly old Jewish janitor who works there. Girls, let me fix your bed. It seems to be creaking.
Thank God.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
I think that's a wise choice.
Actor Liam Hemsworth is 25 years old today. Traitorous little backstabber Brad Williams is 31 years old today.
Oh, your former amigo?
Yeah.
What does it take to get invited to a guy's birthday party anymore?
You know, I was the one who brought him on this show.
Yeah.
The one that made him a legitimate player in the comedy world. You'd think an invite to the birthday party wouldn't be much to ask.
Kevin couldn't even find it. At least if I was invited to the party, I would be able to find it.
I found it eventually.
Yeah, and Kevin's trying to play down the fact that you didn't get invited and he did by saying, well, it wasn't like an official big deal.
Right, but
it,
yeah.
It
was official and big a deal enough that he was able to text an invitation to you and to Dave, though.
Right.
Ralph's got a phone.
Hey, Ralph.
What?
He invited me, too.
That's a hell of a thing.
That's unnecessarily cruel.
We might need to talk to him.
That's a hell of a thing.
We might need
you
to talk
to
Brad.
To him. I'm not talking to him ever again.
We'll pass along whatever you want us to.
Yeah.
With him.
I mean, I really did feel like, you know, Brad comes in a lot on the show. I feel like you and he are close. You're actual
I'm not kidding
friends.
You. I was the guy who brought him on the show.
No one's arguing that.
So a lot of good things have come from that, right?
Right.
From that reason alone, you think a guy would throw an invite your way.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you have gone? Not that it matters. He still should have
invited
you.
What night was this?
Would you have gone?
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
This past Saturday?
Yep. 9 to 1.
Yeah, yeah. I would have stopped by.
Okay. All right. Let's get Brad on the show.
No, let's not. It's him or me. You have him on the show again, I quit. It is on. It's feud. Blood feud.
Uh-oh.
Beef.
Beef.
Boxing match.
The only way to settle this. The only way to settle this is in the ring.
It's a boxing match.
Or a dance-off. One or the other.
But if it's a dance-off, Brad wins.
Brad wins easily.
Yeah, let's make it a boxing
match. But if it's a boxing match, then it's a fair fight.
Did you guys see Brad at the Lakers game?
Yes.
Did you see him dancing?
Yes.
That was unbelievable.
Fantastic.
He can dance.
Yep.
For a traitorous little backstabbing midget.
Sure can't text his friends.
No, friends. Like, apparently I'm not a friend. That has been clearly decided upon.
Happens, man. You fall out of favor. You know.
Hurts when a midget turns his back on you.
Yeah.
Because how many friends could he have?
Right.
The little deformed little creature that he is. How many people could like him?
A lot of people that are up.
Yeah, but he pays a lot of them.
He doesn't.
He pays a lot of them.
He
pays
pay
a lot of people who hang around him. Absolutely.
And you let him, by the way, I'd like to point out, Ralph let him in the studio off his leash, too. That's how good he was to Brad.
I was. I used to let him be a free-range midget, but now not any longer. Joe Wagner's 36 years old today. Orlando Bloom turns 38. Michael Peña, very talented actor, is 39. Patrick Dempsey turns 49. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus turns 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have some more new music to introduce you to from a artist by
Slim
the name...
Slim Bone Headvault?
Artist by the name of Willow Smith.
Got new songs as well, Ralph.
Does she?
Yeah.
Yep. Some new still hydrogen?
She's still hydrogen. Yeah. She still feels bad for us down here on the earth when she's up among the stars, but she's got some new songs even since then.
All right.
Adam Carolla tomorrow with This Week in Rage. We're going to talk to Jay Baruchel about Man Seeking Women on FXX.
This looks funny.
It does look funny. And the legendary boxing promoter, Don King. Will be on the program tomorrow.
He can promote Garmin V. Williams.
Yes, he can. That will be good.